Counselors?
Counselors, let's be honest here. $20 million is more money than these people have ever dreamed of.
These people don't dream about being rich. They dream about being able to watch their kids swim in a pool without worrying that they'll have to have a hysterectomy at the age of 20, like Rosa Diaz, a client of ours, or have their spine deteriorate like Stan Bloom, another client of ours. So before you come back here with another lame-ass offer, I want you to think real hard about what your spine is worth, Mr. Walker, or what you might expect someone to pay you for your uterus, Miss Sanchez. Then you take out your calculator and you multiply that number by 100. Anything less than that is a waste of our time.
Wow.
Putting it on the line, would you welcome to WGN a foul-mouthed, short-skirted, blonde woman from Kansas, Erin Brockovich? How the heck are you?
How are you? I'm good. I'm laughing at your intro. I think that's how I coined myself, right?
Yes. So, I read that off of your own publicity page here. I certainly wouldn't go on the air and say that about anybody unless they'd said it about themselves. So,
well, you know, I think I went along with that because that's what everyone assumes I am. But, you know, we oftentimes can underestimate someone. I learn that every day in my work, underestimating moms and all kinds of people out there rising up.
That was one of the main points of the movie, I think, wasn't it? That don't judge a book by its cover. You just because right? somebody looks that way or dresses that way or talks that way, don't fall into the stereotype and underestimate them. Which is,
absolutely.
Which I think probably worked to your advantage back then to a certain extent, didn't it?
Well, it may have. You know, I didn't always come from that place. I just recognized what I felt like, you know, the negative noise that wants you to go away, the distraction, or it felt, you know, suppressive or trying to put you in a box or making sure you don't think enough of yourself, so you question yourself, so you don't do anything. And I've learned that early in my life because I'm a dyslexic, so I was often, you know, judged, labeled, and put in a space. And then when I got into Hinckley, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I've been here before. I know this.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be anything other than human, no PhD necessary to realize that two-headed frog and green water is just kind of not a good thing.
And, of course, the original Erin Brockovich movie dealt with the Pacific Gas and Electric company. And just a little musical trivia for you. In 1970, there was a band called Pacific Gas and Electric, and they had a song called Are You Ready? And apparently we weren't. Apparently you weren't. So there's also an old cliche, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. And Erin's new book is called Superman's Not Coming. And it's about the safety of our water and what the heck we can do about that. And we're going to talk about that with her in just a moment. But right now, let's check the weather and the traffic. Here's Mary. There you go, 720 WGN, Pacific Gas and Electric from 1970, and that's Are You Ready? And Erin Brockovich is ready and is on the phone with us at 720 WGN. You're getting a kick out of that one, huh?
I am. That's going to be my theme song. As soon as we're done, I'm going to look it up and download it. If I can even find it.
I'd be more than happy to send it to you.
Will you?
Certainly.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very, very welcome.
I'll be waiting for it.
So
awesome. I'll give you my email.
What did you do today at work, John? Oh, well, I sent Erin Brockovich a song. What did you do? Okay, so the book is called Superman's Not Coming. And I'm guessing that's because he's not going to save the planet. And it's about water. And I'm from Michigan.
Correct.
I'm from Michigan. And the whole thing that happened with Flint was just one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever heard. And that's, I'm guessing, part of the reason that you've got the book and how we can assess the safety of our water and then what the heck can we do about it?
Well, you know, I've learned and I've seen when Superman's not coming, the community's faces when they expect agencies or local officials that they thought known this or taken care of it. And I've often been the bearer of bad news that, well, they're not coming and neither is Superman. But here's the thing, we're there. And opening up and talking about Flint, Michigan, you know, it's one thing in PG&E that we learned a corporation can hide and damage the environment and health, but in Flint, it was your own agencies. Yeah, and that's an enormous shock in the gut. Yep. That's a wake-up call. And, you know, especially the mothers there, they took the lead on that and Dr. Mona on that, and they didn't let up in a six-year hell. And because of that, we have had changes in the lead and copper rule, thanks to Congressman Dan Kildee, because it was an antiquated policy. We've seen all the way up charges that have happened and criminal charges. There was a grand jury. And we also see a $600 million settlement that we hope can help these communities, because children are going to carry a scar of this for a long time. But to the point, it didn't take some federal oversight for them to come in and find a problem, recognize the problem, join the community, rise up, and stay in the fight for the long haul to assure better protections for all, reform of a policy, and to help their children moving forward, especially, as we know, developmental issues and things like that that go along with the lead. So power to the people there, and I'm telling you that happens everywhere.
Well, that's got to be part of the motivation to put this book together. But Flint is just a very small part of the entire world. And from what I understand, right, the water problem is everywhere.
The water problem is everywhere. And we share in the book how to turn anger into action, what tools and steps that you can take to begin to learn yourself. Knowledge is power, by way of example, in Hannibal, Missouri. A group of mothers came because they had lead in their water, and in some points in their distribution as high as Flint. And they wanted to make it their job and their business why that was happening. So we educated them on that. They took that knowledge. They turned it into power. They informed their community. One of the ladies ran for city council right in her own backyard, and she won. And they put a referendum out to vote. Do you want ammonia in your water, yes or no? But because the community knew, their vote came in no, very strongly. And they had to go through some legal stuff, but I will tell you, come March 2020, they are now lead free. And these types of communities exist everywhere. And I really felt that in a book, the Superman's not coming. Most people will understand the angst, the frustration, and how they haven't been heard, and give them tools where they can be heard, and to also see that other communities throughout the country are doing the same in their water issues, and they're prevailing at a local level, and they're not waiting for some major oversight to magically drop down and fix it.
What can we as homeowners or just citizens do to take an analysis of what our water situation is? Is this, I mean, we're starting from, you know, we're running the faucet in the house. How do we analyze what's going on?
Well, you know, one of the first things that you can do is, well, by the way, there's about 70% of homes in the Chicago area have tested positive for lead.
Wow.
And 1,250 drinking water fountains in your area have been found with high levels of lead. We're going to have to start looking at our deteriorating infrastructure. But one thing that you can do is just get curious. And you're supposed to be getting a quarterly water quality report. If you're not, that's one of the first steps you can do today. And to find out what is in water. And once you begin to take different steps to protect yourself at your tap from maybe one or several levels that exist in the water. And looking at your own pipes and finding out, do I have ammonia in the system, and load pipes, and flushing your hot water heater, or changing out those filters on your coffee maker, or changing out those filters on your ice maker. Mm-hmm. These are all little steps that can give you some sense of shielding yourself and safety at your own tap.
You know, I think many of us take our water for granted, and you
mentioned the
pipes in our house, and I have to say that, hey, is that a dog?
I have three dogs, and we were lucky they've been quiet this long. They've left the room.
That's okay. I'm a dog lover. I've got one that barks at home all the time. But speaking of being at home, I recently purchased a house that's not new at all, and found out after being there for a while that the pipes in that place were ancient, in the sense that parts of the pipe were actually coming loose and clogging up the entire system, causing, well, in this particular case, the garage to flood. So there's a lot of hidden clues that you can look for, as you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In water issues, listen, we just, I had a friend of mine who never before smelled sulfur coming out of the drains. Well, the issue was it's the sludge and it's the iron bacteria that's in the hot water heater. And you can actually go on YouTube and self-teach yourself how to flush that water heater and the system. And the sulfur smell was gone because it was coming from buildup of iron bacteria sludge within the water heater. So really get curious. We can't take water for granted, nor assume that every water municipality or agency's got her back on it. It's complex. Water's never a soundbite. It's always a story. And to make it your business to understand your municipality, your water, what's in your water, and get involved at city council on permits and what chemicals you can and can't add, one of them being ammonia. You can make real change within yourself, your community, at your own city council. And I promise you, imagine it's already happening. If every state and every community within that state, multiple cities, all took that same action, we'd light up across the board changes in municipal systems. And we can do that.
We're talking with Erin Brockovich, in case you're just joining us here at 720 WGN, and she has a book out called Superman's Not Coming, concerning itself with the water in the world, if you will. And I'm wondering, everything today, it's an election year and all the stuff that's connected with that. How much of all of this do you think is political? The whole idea of cleaning up the water and making communities safer? Because when Flint happened, like you mentioned earlier, this wasn't a company. This was your state officials not doing the job.
Yeah, you've got state officials. You've got EPA that has a system that is running ass backwards. We have, it's true.
Well,
and mind you, there's good people in there. But I just, you know, if you get to a common sense level, I don't know why we allow some 40,000 chemicals to hit the marketplace, get in the aquifers, get in your water, and we drink them for 20 years before somebody figures it out and science catches up that is possibly a good idea, or why we're not requiring manufacturers, you're going to give me a study before I even put that into the marketplace. You know, politics can definitely get involved. I don't think water should be political. I think both sides of the aisle should give a damn about that issue. But here's the thing. They're not dealing with the issue. They're not dealing with their own, with states or at a municipal level. They're not looking at changing antiquated laws like the lead and copper rules. Congressman Dan Kildee did a bang-up job about that. I think more politicians on either side of the aisle need to do that. The statement that we've had the best water we've ever had is absolutely not true. And I think we can't take it for granted. Do not assume someone's got your back. Rely on yourself. If it smells different, if it looks different, pick that phone up. Call that municipality and make it your job to find out what's happening, because somebody's not going to come fix this for you. We the people need to get involved and rise up and speak up.
Erin Brockovich, and the book is Superman's Not Coming, and where do we go to get the book?
Well, you can go to Amazon.com. I know you can definitely find it there. It's been out for a couple of weeks, and I'm really proud of it. And it is just 20 years of experience and fact and information and inspiration and tools for you to have in your hands, so you can know that no matter what your cause is, and it could be air, it could be soil, water, it could be a number of things, how you can get into that fight, stay in that fight, and make change.
Erin, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon, and I'll send you that Pacific Gas and Electric tune.
I'll be looking for that, and I'm going to send you a book. Superman's Not Coming, Our National Water Crisis, and What We the People Can
Do
About It.
Thank you. Erin Brockovich, here on 720 WGN. 427, today is also the what's been deemed Star Trek Day. I believe it was like 55 years or so ago, the first episodes of Star Trek came on. And if you could pick some one person to talk to on Star Trek Day, who would it be? Would you say, oh, probably William Shatner? Well, then guess what? You're right. And he'll join us within the next 15 minutes here at 720 WGN.